Hi, I'm Don Genova, and you're listening to a podcast produced in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, called All You Can Eat. It has now been 1 year since Hurricane Katrina made her devastating landfall on the people of Louisiana and Mississippi. The city of New Orleans and the surrounding area were especially hard hit, with widespread devastation and loss of life. At the end of July, I was invited to visit New Orleans to take part in a festival called Tales of the Cocktail. It was the fourth such annual celebration. The organizers weren't quite sure if they could pull it off, as the food and beverage and hospitality infrastructure of the city are still struggling to get back into shape after Katrina. New Orleans is definitely not what it was before Katrina, but on this show, I will take you through some of the highlights I experienced on my short visit, starting with a cocktail tour of the French Quarter. It's a hot, muggy afternoon in New Orleans. I'm standing near the railway tracks on the banks of the Mississippi River, about to join a cocktail tour of the city's French Quarter.
And we're going to be going in and out of some of the most famous bars and restaurants in the city. As we do this, you're able to purchase drinks along the way. This is probably the most fun tour that Grey Line offers, but the fun really will be depend upon you. This guy's done the tour. A lot of people have done this tour several times.
That's Joe Gendusa, a New Orleans native, our congenial tour guide, and a font of fascinating trivia, lore, and history.
You're in the French Quarter, and so actually this is a giant swamp. You can understand, even though this didn't flood, it's high ground, it's still very swampy. And the big buildings that you see across the way, that's the American section. Those buildings are new. When I say that, they didn't exist when I was a kid growing up. All of those buildings were built in the
60s. Enough of the numbers. We were here to see and taste cocktail history. The first bar we visited, Napoleon House, was in the ground floor of a house that was built for Emperor Napoleon, in case he ever wanted to visit what was once a far-flung piece of France.
It's here on the right. We'll go down and we'll see it. Now it's going to be crowded because this place is really hot right now. The drink there is very famous. It's called the Pimm's Cup. And it is if you've never had this, you really should try it, because it is really the best drink to me on the tour. Although they're all good, but this is my favorite.
This cocktail is made with Pimm's No. 1, a flavored gin, along with lemonade, a touch of soda, and a slice of cucumber. Very refreshing and easy to drink in the sweltering humidity. Napoleon never did visit the house built for him, but his name lives on in the bar. In New Orleans, you don't have to finish your drink in the bar. You get it in a go cup and can freely wander the streets, which is what we did until we came to the place where Antoine Peychaud used to live. Depending on which account you read, he may have been French, Creole, or even Haitian. Most agree that in the 1830s, this apothecary used to serve a cognac and bitters drink to his friends after work, and thirsty Americans wanted in on the action.
Now, the drink didn't have a name, but remember, Mr. Peychaud didn't have go cups like this. So he used to put his little cognac in a little pharmaceutical cup, just a little egg-shaped cup. The cup is called a cocotte. The Americans thought that was so cute because they wanted to drink their cognac out of cocottes. Well, again, what they're going to do is mangle the word. Instead of calling it a cocotte, they call it a cocte. And the word becomes what? Cocktail. The reason I want you to look in the window now, that's an original cocotte right there in the window.
So that sounds like a perfectly plausible explanation as to how these mixed drinks became known as cocktails, right? The only problem with that is that the first recorded mention of the cocktail in print was around 1803, when Peychaud would have been just a boy. Anyway, by this time we were interested in more drinks, not more history. But history itself was found with a woman behind the bar at the Court of the Two Sisters. Floria Woodward, also known as Miss Flo, has been tending bar there for 38 years. Her specialty is the hurricane, but she mixes many more.
So how many drinks do you think you know how to make?
Oh, I don't even give them a guess. Not even a guess, maybe. Because a lot of them is new drinks just coming in. And you have all of the old drinks as well.
So probably a couple of hundred at least, eh?
Yes.
Miss Flo was a waitress before she was a bartender, at a time when being a black waitress in New Orleans was almost unheard of. She had to put up with many unruly customers, but is now one of the most revered mixologists in New Orleans.
Drop me off in New Orleans.
By now, all the bars Joe Gendusa had been showing us were starting to blur together. It might have had something to do with having one cocktail in every location. Then I got to have my first taste of absinthe, a spirit which is still banned from sale in America because of its supposed hallucinogenic side effects.
But you understand, like anything that's against the law, it was always available. I'll tell you who drank it throughout his entire presidency. He loved the obituary cocktail, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He loved it.
It made
his pain easier. And Ernest Hemingway drank it in champagne. He's the one who created Death in the Afternoon. He loved it.
Of course, there's a bar in New Orleans specializing in shots of this green licorice-flavored liquor in an elaborate ritual which results in the Green Fairy.
They put a glass, a slotted spoon on the glass, sugar cube, drip the absinthe through, and it fills it about that much. Then they'll light the sugar. Not always, but a lot of people love the colorful caramelizing the sugar. When the sugar goes out, they will drip water, just plain water, through, and it'll start filling, and you're going to see what's going to happen. The chemical effect is going to take place, and you're going to see the green start to separate. That's the wings of the fairy. That's what the idea is. Fill it to the top, stir it up, and you sip the drink.
Okay, so I was saying that this is the water. The water would dilute the drink.
So there I was in the Pirate's Alley Cafe having a green fairy prepared right before my eyes by a bartender who looked like she was on a break from the voodoo shop down the street. This was French absinthe, which apparently doesn't have the kind of wormwood that gives you the visions. I felt loopy anyway. Good thing we only had one more bar to visit. It was the famous Two Jacks, second oldest restaurant in the city and the first stand-up bar. I stood as long as I could, then it was off to my hotel for a little nap.
Toulouse-Lautrec was very into this drink.
You're listening to All You Can Eat. I'm Don Genova. You know, I had never been to New Orleans before, so I jumped at the chance to visit the city after being invited to Tales of the Cocktail. On the taxi in from the airport, I kept looking for the scenes of devastation which became so familiar on TV screens last year. I didn't really see anything that bad, but it didn't take long for the local news on the TV in my hotel room to remind me that the effects of Hurricane Katrina are still the top story.
It's a constant battle for people in St. Bernard Parish. Coming up next on Eyewitness News at 6, why hasn't Murphy Oil cleaned some people's homes where the oil spilled during Katrina?
While some parts of New Orleans haven't been cleaned up, much less rebuilt, the downtown core of the city is slowly getting back to normal, and the tourist industry is once again encouraging people to come to the Big Easy.
Have you ever been to New Orleans? It's the hottest city you've ever seen. Gotta love them red beans. You gotta love them mustard green. In this city called New Orleans.
This city has some fantastic food and cocktail traditions, and traditions die hard. That's why I'm sitting here in the covered courtyard of Café du Monde, a coffee shop that's been in the French Quarter since 1862. Pretty much all they serve here is coffee and beignet. A beignet is said to be an Acadian creation, basically a deep-fried square of dough, which is then covered with about half an inch of icing sugar. That's it. And yet the place is packed with people. Café du Monde was back in business just 6 weeks after Katrina hit.
But anyway, taking this, we're going to reduce it down. We're going to add just a little butter because, you know, fat makes the world go round.
Absolutely. You know?
Other restaurants had more of an uphill battle. Café Giovanni is owned by chef Duke Lo Cicero. He, his wife Kelly, and his kids were evacuated from the city when Katrina hit. They were staying with relatives in Tennessee, where Duke was able to witness his restaurant being looted. He related part of his story during a cooking demo at Tales of the Cocktail.
And I couldn't leave the television, just like everybody else. I couldn't leave the television. And I kept telling Kelly, and CNN was right across the street. So I saw a guy, he was running with the flat screen TV. I said, "Hey, where's our TV?" But I can look right in that side door, and there were arrested people going into that little store right there in the corner. And I kept saying, "I said we've done it. We're right in the middle of it. There's no way they're not going to get, you know, they're not going to tear the place apart."
For Duke, there was never any question of rebuilding.
When you see something that you worked on for 16 years, and you come in and you just see how bad it was. These doors got blown open. I mean, it was like a tornado, water, and it was just a terrible scene to see. the smell for 4 or 5 weeks, no electricity. We had $30,000 worth of food because it was a big weekend, if you remember.
Yeah.
And we had $30,000 worth of food in those refrigerators. It looked like a whole movie that you saw where you woke up and it was a bad nightmare. It was just, I can't tell you, you get down, but there's something that says you got to get back up and you got to take it to the next level. You're looking, if you look around, there's my daughter, my lovely wife, my son, and 4 guys that came back that cleaned this restaurant up from head to toe. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a New Orleanian, you're going to be tougher than anybody in the world. If you can get through this, you can handle just about anything. That's what's so great. And that's the great part about it, is that we are coming back.
Because restaurant skills are so transferable, many cooks, waiters, and dishwashers who left New Orleans when Katrina hit haven't bothered coming back. They're working somewhere else in the country. Some places haven't been able to open for lunch as well as dinner service because they just don't have enough staff. Other places are still repairing damage caused by the storm or post-storm looting. Tales of the Cocktail had just completed its 3rd year when Katrina hit. Festival founder Ann Rogers didn't want to give up on year 4, and her instincts were right.
This week has really been unbelievable because that's the case. I mean, I just feed off of everybody's energy, and I'm thrilled that everybody's having a great time and enjoying New Orleans and learning about our history and culture and spirit. We had no idea what was going to happen in those first few months. I didn't myself even get back to New Orleans for good till January 1st, as did my staff. But I don't know if I'm either really hard-headed or enthusiastic or what, but all along we were going to do it, and here we are, and everybody has a great time and comes back for our 5th anniversary next year.
I had a lot of casual conversations with people in the city's hospitality industry during my stay. All of them had tales of what had happened to their homes, their families, and their jobs. One of the managers at my hotel told me her house was flooded to the ceiling of the 1st floor, while her 2nd floor was immaculate. As time went on, she said, the more you get, the more you want. When the electricity came back on, then you wanted your telephone. Cable TV was a real luxury, but not so much as getting your garbage picked up again. Still, she's careful to remind herself that some people don't even have electricity yet. But when I hit Bourbon Street one night, all the energy New Orleans is known for was still there. Street musicians giving it their all, music blaring from the bars and nightclubs, tourists walking with their go-cups full of booze up and down the street, everyone having a great time. You can definitely be well-fed, well-watered, and well-entertained in the historic French Quarter, but you don't have to go too far before the facade starts to crumble. The city has problems that won't be solved by just a fresh coat of paint and a new menu. But I hope to return again, just to drink in the spirit of the stubborn survivors. That's all you can eat for this week. You can check out my recipes and see some photos from New Orleans by going to my website, dongenova.com, and clicking on my blog. I'm Don Genova. Bye for now.